The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
We all were carnal to begin with, and some of us, I'm afraid, still are, unless we really have received the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of a changed mind, a sound mind, a different kind of a mind that can begin to comprehend spiritual knowledge. And I've found so many in the church that have been members a long time, and they don't comprehend spiritual knowledge. They get doctrine. They're straight on doctrine, but they don't understand it. Brother, I worry sometimes about the church. Then I have to remember we don't get a full measure of the Holy Spirit all at once. We get a little of the Holy Spirit, and perhaps you get 5%, or Christ had 100%. Well, then you're still 95% carnal. But if you grow in grace and the knowledge and in spiritual knowledge after a little while, if you grow, you have 10% of the Holy Spirit and 10% God's knowledge and only 90% carnal. Where are you now? Have you gotten up to 45% the Spirit of God and still 55% carnal? You better get where you're not over 49% in this world any longer, 51% spiritual. Now, I hope I've gotten that far. Have you? You better examine yourselves, brethren. Where do you stand? How far have you grown? How much knowledge have you acquired? How much are you practicing in your life? How much prayer are you, how much of your time you're spending in prayer? How devout are your prayers? How much are you pouring your heart into your prayers?
Sobering words there from Herbert W. Armstrong, speaking back in 1982, addressing the church, talking about the changed mind that you have when you come into God's church and receive the Holy Spirit of God. And he was concerned about the direction of the church, and he was right to be concerned, as we know now from church history. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com or go to our Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily. Today for the program, we're going to flip the script a little bit and do our Bible study segment first. We've also got some email feedback, quite a few that came in from yesterday's show. We'll get to that in the middle of the show, and then whatever time we have left, we'll look at some news items at the end of the program. So you're going to want to stay with us all the way through to the end as we, like yesterday, try to patch together a full show. We were a little late yesterday, running right to the wire, so we thought if we flipped the script a little bit, that would give us a little more time on the production side of things. So as I say, that was Herbert Armstrong, and of course, so many of us remember well the alarm that he sounded in 1985, but really, he was doing it all through the 1980s. And one thing that we've emphasized here at our summer educational program with all of these young people is that we are to be different from those in this world. We are not of this world. And so many passages of Scripture bring that out. I'll take you through one here in 2 Corinthians 6. Just look at verse 16. Get your Bible, please, and read along with me and see what the Word of God says. As Herbert Armstrong used to say, blow the dust off your Bible and prove the truth of God. Prove what I'm saying is true. You've got to prove it for yourself. Prove all things, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5. Here in 2 Corinthians 6, it says in verse 16, in what agreement hath the temple of God with idols, for you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. If you look back into the Old Testament and you see that history with ancient Israel, I mean, from the beginning, he was telling that nation, those people, you're to come out of this world and to be separate from all enemy influence, from all foreign nations. You are a separate, you're a holy nation. That's what Peter says about the church in the New Testament. And of course, you see the history with ancient Israel and then spiritual Israel, the Israel of God, as Paul wrote. Today, we're to be separate, not in the sense that we withdraw into, you know, and be a hermit. I mean, we do have a work that goes out to this world, but we are to be separate from the evil of this world, the filth of this world, separate. Verse 17, it says, wherefore, come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. In that same message that I played there for the cold open from Herbert Armstrong in 1982, he said, we're to come out of this world and no longer be part of it. And then he said, I don't think we get that. And keep in mind, he's addressing the church. He was telling God's people, I don't think we understand that we're supposed to come out of this world, that we're supposed to be separate from the world. Notice verse 18. It's a continuation of the thought. You see the comma there at the end of verse 17. And I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You see, in order to be received of God, in order for him to be our father, we have to come out. We have to, like I was telling the boy campers yesterday, I mean, we really have to make some sacrifices. We have to put away sin. We read through Romans 6 sometimes and see what God says there in the baptism chapter about crucifying that old man or destroying that body of sin. That's the kind of language that God uses. He's not half-hearted about this process, converting us into a God being. I mean, we're to go all the way for God to perfection. Matthew 5. And verse 48, notice this section in Peter's epistle, 1 Peter chapter 2, and beginning in verse 1, it says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as a newborn or as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Here again, lay aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisy, and receive the milk of the word. Receive the meat of the word. Let God have his way in your life. Let him live in you. This says in verse 3, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. The Revised Standard Version says, come to him, to that living stone. I mean, if you've tasted of this spiritual food, if you dig into the truth of God, you're just going to want more and more and more of it. But if you drift away from it, human nature being what it is, it's so easy to just delve into the things of this world. Materialism. Here again, this is something that we emphasize so often with our young people, with our campers, with our college students. There's so many distractions, particularly in our modern age. And Satan is there just devouring our time if we let him. God says, lay that aside and really feast on the word of God. Really feast on God's truth. Verse 5 says, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We are God's church. And God says that we're to be a holy priesthood. We're to be teachers, as I was saying on yesterday's show. We're to be fishers of men. were to go out, God, of course, has to call and bring someone to the truth. But when that happens, it's like what Peter wrote elsewhere in this epistle. I mean, we've got to be ready to give an answer for the hope that dwells within us. And anytime you listen to Herbert Armstrong, like you just heard at the top of the show, I mean, you see someone that had a passion for God's truth. He really was fired up for the truth of God. He was a fantastic teacher. He sacrificed for God's work. He lived for decades in poverty, virtually with nothing, just serving God. And then God, of course, over the years of his 50-some-year ministry, God just gave him all kinds of resources to work with, to send that message right around the world. And by the end of his ministry, millions and millions of people were tuning in to the World Tomorrow program. They were subscribing to the Plain Truth magazine. There were more than 100,000 people that were actually members of the Worldwide Church of God. That was at its peak back in the mid-1980s. Notice verse 6. This is, again, 1 Peter 2. It says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. It says, unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious," or if you look at the margin, it says, if you believe he's an honor, it goes on and says, "But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense." It says, "Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." I went through a passage with the campers the other day in 2 Timothy 3, where it talks about, you know, the religious system of this world. I mean, there's a show of religion. On the surface, it looks to be religious. But as Paul said there in that chapter, they deny the power of God. They deny the truth of God, the gospel of God. They don't like this process of submitting to God's word and letting God, through the Spirit of God, change our minds, our thinking, our hearts. God wants us to turn our hearts to him. Verse 9, it says, "But you are," listen to this beautiful verse, a memory verse here. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light." God has called us out of darkness. It's the same kind of language, really, that you see in 2 Corinthians 6, Revelation 18. Come out of this world. Come out of darkness. I mean, look at the first few chapters of the Gospel of John. It says there in John 3, it says that Christ came as a light to this world. But what did they do to Jesus Christ? It says there that the world loves darkness. The world loves dwelling in darkness. Revelation 12:9 says the whole world is deceived. I mean, that's quite a statement. It comes right out of your Bible. The whole world? It says again in verse 9 that we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. I mean, there's really, I mean, this verse highlights just the tremendous difference there is between a true Christian and everyone else. Not that a true Christian is any better than those in the world. They're going to have their opportunity, but there's a time order to it, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15. You've got Christ and the first fruits, and then all of those that are going to come out of the great tribulation and the day of the, be spared from the day of the Lord, the great multitude, they're called in the Bible. And then all of those generations through the wonderful world tomorrow, when there's going to be youth camps and Imperial Academies and Armstrong Colleges all over the earth, and people will be educated in the more excellent way, as it says there at the end of 1 Corinthians 12. We've established that as the theme of this summer educational program. A more excellent way. That's the way of God. That's the way of abundance and blessings. That's the way of happiness and joy. You look around this world and you see a lot of negativity. You see a lot of unhappiness and misery. You see a lot of suffering. You see a lot of anger and rage. But what do you see in God's family? Well, these scriptures, they inform us of what we are to be and to become. And it's not an easy, it's the straight and narrow way. And you can hear in Mr. Armstrong's voice, with that clip we played in 1982, you can hear how concerned he was for God's people. They're a massive target in the eyes of the devil. The devil is out to take us out. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, just a couple more passages here. Romans 12 and verse 1, this is the Apostle Paul writing, and he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. See, like I said yesterday to the boys, you've got to be willing to make sacrifices in order to serve God, in order to teach for God. It says here, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And notice verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. Just let your mind wrap around these words for a moment. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are different. We in God's church, we are different in the way that we live, in the way that we think, in the way that we behave, because we're following that more excellent way. It says in verse 3, this is again Romans 12, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Mr. Armstrong, in that 1982 message, he said, we still have not been fully weaned from the cares and the interests of this world. It's a process, the process of conversion. It's lifelong. Thankfully, we have a temporary existence, a physical life, to learn these lessons, to live this excellent way, to overcome bad habits and evil ways, maybe that we were accustomed to when we were in the world, when we were immersed into the world. But as Mr. Armstrong was saying in that 1982 message, we've got to be showing progress. We've got to be going forward. We need to be growing. We need to be praying more fervently, digging into and studying our Bibles. Notice Romans 8. This was the passage. We can conclude with this section of Scripture, but this is the passage that Mr. Armstrong was going through when he made that statement that I played for you at the top of the show. He was concerned about the direction of the church. He was admonishing the brethren in the family of God to make sure they're putting the highest priority on growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's how the Apostle Peter concluded his second epistle. Notice, though, here in Romans 8, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That's the way the carnal mind operates. It's hostile to God. It's hostile to God's word. It doesn't want to submit to God's authority, to the authority of the Scriptures. That's what we're going up against. It's a war of the wills, as my father writes in the Overcomer booklet. You can read about that struggle in Romans 7. I mentioned Romans 6, the baptism chapter. The whole study of Romans 6, 7, and 8, just so profound. It says in verse 8, here in Romans 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you, notice verse 9, Paul says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. It says, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so Mr. Armstrong said in that sermon that, I mean, if the Spirit of God is not leading you, if it's not directing you, you're not a member of God's church. You might be filling a seat. But a member of God's family, God's church, is one who's being led by the Spirit. That's brought out in this same passage, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Mr. Armstrong said, if you're not following where the Spirit leads, the Holy Spirit will not stay in you. Sobering words. It is possible for the Spirit, as it says over in 1 Thessalonians 5, to be quenched. If you're not being or following where the Spirit leads, the Spirit's not going to drag us. It's not going to shove us in the back to get us to go forward. We have to show, like I was telling the boys yesterday, we have to show some ambition, some drive to go after God and His way of life, to go after His truth. Verse 18. Well, let me just read verses 15 to 17. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you've received the spirit of sonship, it should read, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16 says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You see how God bridges the gap between us and Him. He created us with a human spirit, quite unlike every living being in the animal kingdom. Beautiful creatures, made, designed by God, created by God, but they don't have a human spirit, which enables us to think and to reason and to go after, you know, set goals and go after God's way of life with drive and determination. And then when you've converted to God's way of life, when you've gone through your preparation for baptism, you've repented, you've turned to God in faith, and then you've been baptized, then there's the laying on of hands and you receive the Spirit of God, which then joins together with our human spirit. And then we can begin to think and to reason like God does and to live a more excellent way. Verse 17, it says, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. That's where it leads. I mean, the denominations of the Christian religion, they don't understand the purpose for man, why we're here, where this is headed, to be glorified together with Christ, to be right up there on the God family level, to become God, in fact. You tell that to denominations in the Christian world and they would consider it to be blasphemy. And yet it comes right out of these scriptures. Verse 18 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The sacrifice, in other words, is worth it. You've got to be willing to give and to serve and to sacrifice if you want to teach for God. But as you read there, I mean, when you compare the sufferings and the sacrifices that we make to serve and obey God, how can you even compare it to the glory that's about to be revealed in us? Mr. Armstrong said, it's not easy to come out of this world and the temptations of the flesh. It's not easy to let go of the world and its ways, the way of worldliness, but it's worth it. When we come back, we will go through a few emails that we've been getting in recent weeks. I guess we've got quite a few from yesterday's program, and then hopefully we'll have some time at the end of the show for a few news items as well. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The developed nations have made awesome progress. They have produced a highly mechanized world, providing every luxury, modern convenience, and means of pleasure. Yet they are cursed with crime, violence, injustice, sickness and disease, broken homes and families. At the same time, more than one half the world is living in illiteracy, abject poverty, filth and squalor. Violence and destruction are rapidly multiplying. Many ask, why, if God exists, does he allow so much violence and human suffering? To understand the reason behind this astonishing paradox, request a complimentary copy of Mystery of the Ages. We were born into this 20th century world as it is. We take it for granted, but we can't explain it. It's like viewing a movie at a point already near the end. We see what is occurring at that point, but not having seen it from the beginning and not knowing how events developed to the point of viewing, we simply cannot understand what we are seeing. Mystery of the Ages transports you back to the beginning of the movie, to the foundation of this present evil world. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com.
A few emails that have come in recent days. This one says very succinctly, thank you for today's Bible study. Greatly appreciated. That's in response to the outdoor show that we had yesterday. This one says, thank you for the up-to-date news from The Trumpet Daily. It has become my perfect source of getting accurate information on U.S. politics, especially the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. I was so amazed at the calmness of the crowd at Butler. No movement, no stampede. They stood by President Trump. God bless your country. That comes from overseas. This one here says, I really loved the sermon that you gave to the young boys on your show today. It was a wonderful Bible study about Peter and Christ asking him three times, do you love me? This is referring to that passage in John 21. We read that yesterday to the boy campers. Do you love me? Well, if so, feed my sheep. I remember these verses very well from my younger days as a teenager years ago, but more recently too, in the Bible and reading it, it says the way you said it made me feel like I was there too. Can't wait to hear you speaking to the girls on Thursday. Just looking out beyond to the road behind you, it looks like a pretty busy road this time of year. The weather looked great too. God bless you all. I'm not sure what road that was in Cache, Oklahoma. That's where we filmed the opening segment for yesterday's show. But there was a fairly busy highway that was off in the distance behind us and a fair bit of traffic, as this viewer notes. This one here says, please continue to go off script and dodge bullets. Your truth is God's truth. This one's commenting on just a point we made last week, where, as you know by now, with Donald Trump, not only did God intervene to tilt his head just in the direction it needed to be so that the bullet only grazed his ear, but he also, at that moment, he went off the teleprompter. He went off the script, and that's why he was looking over at the screen to his right at the graphics that his people were putting up. Pretty amazing. It says here, we as Americans and as God's people need to be reminded that God wants to intervene in our lives. Thank you, and thanks to God's church for delivering the true message. This one here says, a short one, great show today. Love the outdoor background. It is nice to be able to do something a little bit different, although we were panicking a bit as we were trying to upload that final segment. I think at about 11:04, and then we were hoping to start at 11:05 as per usual, but ended up going just about 5 minutes late. This one here, it says, what a great calling for the young people at the PCG camp, called so early in this life to learn about God and his spiritual God family plan for mankind. I'm certain once they learn the true meaning of God, they will be awestruck, as I was myself. Great show from the camp out. Another one here says, thank you for today's broadcast and message, teaching the kids who and what God's true gospel is and how to push one's self to seek God's will. learning how to grow and to let God prepare us to be teachers, it's not an easy task. It's not an easy task. I'm personally trying to teach my youngest son how to let God use him for his purpose. I do all I can to live by example as I grow and learn new revelation myself. It says the PCG is a godsend, and I'm grateful to God for showing me who and where his true church is. May God continue to bless and to empower his people and work. Another one here comes in from New Zealand, a listener all the way down, or a viewer all the way down in New Zealand. Your coverage of the last month in U.S. politics, little by little, calmly and clearly proving all things in the context of Bible prophecy as it happens, has been very revealing. In particular, your comment on July 22 that the assassination attempt was a hit job. It says the evidence is that this is what it was, as there was a coordinated effort from the top using the Attorney General, the FBI, Secret Service to turn a blind eye to the things unfolding and to let a young man take a shot at Donald Trump. To call it what it is, attempted murder, keep up the good work of fearlessly reporting the evidenced truth of end-time events. Some excellent comments coming in. This one here says, since 1947, probably before, the CIA and the FBI have been enemies of their own country. The CIA was created by American and British communists to destroy the country. The great man of God, Herbert W. Armstrong, knew the communists were taking over. You can look at our booklet, a free brochure. You can get to it at thetrumpet.com or call our 800 number. But you can look at the booklet, He Was Right, and see there's a chapter in there on the communist infiltration of America was prophesied. That's what this viewer is referring to. Another one here says, America under attack is fabulous. As this election gets closer, the Antiochus is becoming more and more visible, revealing himself as the mastermind. He thinks he's invincible, but God is not mocked, and this church has been exposing him and his role. He knows if Trump wins, it's over for him. He's being exposed. Keep up the good work. The fighting is going to get real dirty from here on out, just as we have been told. A couple more here. It says, the Secret Service train wreck, having a female at the helm is probably the first mistake. Police activity close to my house last night, four or five officers in pursuit. I heard them yell to get down on the ground, and then a shot was fired. Couldn't help but think of the open border and where this individual might have come from. It says the Minneapolis, well, it talks about who Kamala might pick for her VP slot, and says whoever it is, it's going to be a disaster. Well, that's it. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'd love to receive your feedback and possibly even read a little bit of that on the air. When we come back, we'll conclude today's show with our news segment. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. you'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
I think it's pretty clear that if the assassination attempt on Trump had succeeded, that Biden would have stayed in. People can draw their own conclusions from that, but I believe that. It seems obvious to me that all of these things are connected.
This very suspicious letter, which is signed by Joe Biden in a signature that is different from all of his other signatures, gets put out, and it says that he is dropping out of the race. It doesn't cite a reason. It doesn't cite any specifics as to what's going on, doesn't endorse Kamala Harris in the letter itself, and it's just posted to his Twitter account, just X. So it's posted up there, and we don't hear from him. We don't see him. We don't see Jill. We don't see any of the senior staff. His senior staffers are the ones informing the cabinet after this. So Biden himself doesn't even call his own cabinet.
According to reports, Biden spent the weekend fuming at the elites in his own party. Now, apparently, according to the New York Post, other sources, Joe's decision to drop out was, in fact, coerced. One top Democrat telling Politico, quote, Nancy Pelosi made it very clear that Biden could do it the easy way or the hard way. Sounds like the mop. Anyway, he continued, quote, she gave his 3 weeks of the easy way. It was about to be the hard way. There is even speculation that Pelosi and others were threatening to trigger the 25th Amendment and remove Biden from office if he did not comply to the elites in his party. And so much for Pelosi's lie on MSDNC. She supports whatever decision he makes. Make no mistake, this was a coup inside the Democratic Party.
As someone who's thought for the last few years that this was not a democracy, it's an oligarchy, the real business conducted in the shadows, shielded from public scrutiny by lies and classification laws. I've thought all that for a while because it's clearly true. But to see that all revealed, they just took the mask off.
So what
is shocking.
What you're seeing is a layer being pulled back and the core is never revealed.
It does seem like we're at a point where all of a sudden it happened fast. We're beyond words and rhetoric, beyond politics, beyond process even. And we're dealing with people who are absolutely willing to kill other people for power. Like, that's real.
Of course.
And to stage a coup against an elected president who supposedly got 15 million more votes than any president in history.
Where are all the Biden voters?
But it's like nobody even cares about all that stuff. None of that was ever real. Now they're admitting it's not real. And it's just the people with the guns are in charge. It does feel that way.
When you have an oligarchy that is pushed up against the wall, which by the way, they are right now. And this is, it's a dangerous point, but also they would not be doing this if they didn't have to. If they didn't have to go up against Trump, if the assassin's bullet had been 1/2 inch, 1/4 inch to the right, and things had gone a little bit differently in that field in Butler, Pennsylvania, then they wouldn't be having to make these moves.
Right. Everything that Joe Scarborough and Wolf Blitzer and Margaret Brennan or, you know, all these people, it's all lies. They'll say anything they need to say. The Democratic Party is not democratic in any sense. Its voters are purely puppets. So are its politicians. It's all fake.
If they had total control of the election process, total control of the general election, if they could just, say, flip a switch and put whoever they wanted in office, they would just do that. You would not see any of these extreme measures being reached to if they could just flip the switch. So there's a problem. Something's broken down. Something has gone wrong because I think what they're really terrified of is a revolt of the people.
Yeah, and I think they've got a lot of internal conflict too.
Yes.
I mean, it's not clear to me. I think Obama has more power than Hillary Clinton in the Democratic Party, but I'm not certain of that.
It's all being exposed, just like you see there in that montage. That's Tucker, his sit down with Jack Posobiec, and also a clip of Hannity in there where it's now being widely reported that this was another coup. I mean, they shoved Joe Biden aside. They forced him out. It's pretty amazing to watch. This is the New York Post. It says here, operatives at the very highest levels of the Democratic Party threatened President Biden with forcibly removing him from office unless he stepped down, sources told the Post. The well-orchestrated palace coup, to stop the faltering president from seeking a re-election had been in place for weeks, but stubborn Biden fought it every step of the way. So here's, there's this internal war going on in the Democrat Party. And then now to see them fake all of this love and support and adoration for Kamala Harris. I've got another montage that we've put together on that here in just a moment. But this is the way they operate. And here again, it's all being exposed. It's all being exposed. Tucker there said at the end that, you know, he thinks Obama's the one that's doing it. Add that to another, to just a long line of commentators that now see what's so obvious, what's so plain. It just makes you think of that chapter again. I mentioned it in the first segment, that chapter in He Was Right, or maybe it was in the email segment, but he was right. Herbert Armstrong was right about the communist infiltration of the United States. And I think Tucker's right there. These people fear an uprising from the people because the people are onto them. The people know. And you can see why Donald Trump has such strong support and how it's growing. Just as an aside here, there's all these clips going around social media of Donald Trump golfing with this professional golfer. And in these clips, you just see a normal, down-to-earth, funny guy that anyone would want to spend some time with. What a contrast to all of the fakery and phoniness. Tucker even mentioned that in the montage that we just played. Everything is fake. Everything that Scarborough and company put out there is just totally, totally fake news. Whatever the narrative is supposed to be. And you see just how quickly they change the narrative when need be. This tweet from Elon Musk. About 3 weeks ago, the media told you that Biden was as sharp as a tack. That was just a few weeks ago. He was as sharp as a tack. And then Musk says, 2 days ago, the poor guy was basically forced at gunpoint to resign as the Democrat nominee. His staff wasn't even informed. Now they say Kamala is the best thing ever. Now Kamala she's going to shatter all the glass ceilings. She's the best thing ever. These people, listen to this montage that we put together regarding Kamala Harris, clip one.
Now that the process has played out from the grassroots bottom up, we are here today to throw our support behind Vice President Kamala Harris. I'm clapping. You don't have to. It's a happy day. What can I say? Vice President Harris will beat Donald Trump and become the next president of the United States of America. Applause. Hakeem.
Wow, the enthusiasm is through the roof and not fake at all. And by the way, did Chuck Schumer say that the process played out from the grassroots bottom up? Chucky. Kamala did not get a single primary vote, not one. She was picked by party elites, people like yourself, Chuck, without any input, zero input, no consideration at all for the voters.
So to support Kamala Harris after she's been Biden's vice president for almost 4 years requires us to enter a suspended reality. It's a political fantasy land, one where she doesn't have a record of utter failure on the economy, the border, and of course, inflation. Now, although she ran a horrid 2020 primary campaign, although as VP she had, 92% staff turnover in 3 years, they're trying hard to repackage her as a force to be reckoned with, a female Barack Obama.
Well, as of now, Kamala is now polling even worse than Joe Biden. Recent Harris polls has Trump beating Harris by 9 points nationwide. And a preliminary result from a brand new Rasmussen poll has Trump up by a whopping 13. Another poll has Trump up by 2. That's not all. The New York Times put together a list of 10 Democrats. The New York Times, they ranked their chances of beating Donald Trump in the fall, and they ranked Kamala Harris dead last. One columnist for the Times referred to Harris as, quote, a mediocre politician from a deep blue state with low national approval ratings.
How do you perceive Vice President Harris compared to President Biden in terms of competency and experience?
I think she's worse. She doesn't even know what's going on at the border.
Right.
And that's what she was
supposed to be doing.
She's destroyed San Francisco, which is hell of a thing to do. If she becomes president, Kamala Harris will make the invasion exponentially worse. And just like she did with San Francisco, just like she did with the border, our whole country will be permanently destroyed.
When do you think America will have a female president?
When there's a competent one.
If Vice President Kamala Harris wins the election, do you think that will be an honest result?
No.
No one respects her.
I mean, that's brutal. No one respects her. She's incompetent. I mean, this is what the MSNBC focus group is saying. And then to see them, as I say, out there just trying to pretend that she's taking the country by storm. She's in many ways, and Trump has noted this, she's even worse than Biden, but that doesn't really even matter. It's the puppet. Barack Obama feels like he can control her just like he controlled Joe Biden. He's the one that's carrying out this fundamental transformation. I want to go through an article or a post by Sundance over at Conservative Treehouse. And he just, again, puts this in context. He goes back, as you should, when you're looking at what's happening to the United States of America today. You've got to go back to the dear leader when the fundamental transformation started. Of course, all of this is laid out in our book, America Under Attack, which was offered for the first time on the Key of David just last weekend. And of course, we give it a lot of attention on this show. This is from Sundance. 16 years ago, the term manufactured enthusiasm took on an entire new meaning with the introduction of the One. Chicago Jesus, the bringer of all progressive enlightenment, Barack Obama. The intersection of Hollywood and a left-wing political media crowned their golden calf, and the outcome was ridiculous. Many voices, not enough obviously, were shouting, wait, stop, and various warnings about what would come next. There were only a few sounding the alarm about fundamental transformation. I mean, what needs to be fundamentally transformed? They had all of the, really what he's describing with the golden calf is the will worship that we've been seeing. Satan's the prince of the power of the air. Satan's deceived the whole world. And look at the worship. I mean, they swooned, as my father has written. They swooned before Barack Obama. But see, he's beginning to lose his power and influence. And really, even though Biden was shoved aside, I think there's still some pretty good evidence that there's a rivalry, a war, whatever you want to call it, between the Biden camp and the Dear Leaders camp. And even when Biden, for all we know, Barack Obama might have wanted somebody else besides Kamala. But after Biden tweeted out, this is how it all played out Sunday, so many weird things happening. He tweeted out that he's going to step aside. He's not going to run for re-election. And then I think 30 minutes later, he tweets that he fully supports Kamala Harris. And then now you see the regime media, everyone's behind it, faking the enthusiasm, you know, with her speech in Milwaukee yesterday and such. It says here, however, those warnings fell on, this is back to Sundance, the warnings that should have been sounded in 2008, those warnings fell upon deaf ears, and the fundamental change was hoisted upon an electorate coping with a housing crisis and a financial crisis. The rest, as they say, is history. Listen to this. Folks, we are about to witness the full 2007 and 8 ego-driven madness packed into a short three-month period. The manufactured enthusiasm for Kamala Harris has begun, and the first 48 hours of the marketing blitz are exactly as we should expect. It's a marketing blitz. It's a lot of phoniness and fakery. The next few months are going to be ridiculous at a level beyond the Lightbringer. Fortunately, a person who was perhaps not paying attention in 2007 and 8 will now get to witness something they missed before, and the ears might not be as deaf as they were 16 years ago. We also have the ego of the one, which might come into play if he feels slighted, witnessing a higher level of adulation than he received. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, that's Sundance even alluding to this separation. Barack Obama from the Democrat Party, and of course, as we always point out, in Amos 7, after the first half of that chapter, you don't see the Antiochus, or you don't read of the Antiochus in the rest of the story. So there does come a point where Obama's influence is shoved aside. God will see to it. Just as sure as God will see to it that Jeroboam returns to power as well. You look back, and we've brought this out in recent programs, just how fast things have been happening these last two or three months, even these last few weeks. Elon Musk notes this in that tweet that I just read to you. The turning points, the debate, that was just on June 27th. That was less than a month ago. And then, of course, July 13th, they attempted to assassinate Donald Trump, their political rival, their political opponent, the one who threatens their hold on power. This is from the American Mind. It says the attempted assassination of Donald Trump is a turning point. That's something we've noted over and again since they tried to kill him. It's a turning point, not just in the 2024 presidential campaign, but in American history. The stakes in this moment have been laid bare, as are the characters and qualities of the men who contend for the presidency. It says for the left, it means their whole apparatus and mechanism of rule carefully crafted and advanced across a century from the erection of the administrative state to the slow overthrow of the Constitution to the near eradication of federalism to the periodic firestorms of their ideological fervors to the takeovers of nearly every major institution in American life and beyond is now entirely at risk. They're talking about the communist takeover of the United States. It's prophesied. Look into our brochure. He was right. It says here, a ruling class that has felt secure for generations abruptly finds itself staring into the abyss. And it grasps that everything it has stood for is on the precipice of extinction. Its security was ephemeral, its permanence an illusion. They're losing their hold on power. What we've seen in recent years is what they're willing to do to hold on to power, even assassinations, that was brought out in that interview Tucker had with Posobiec. It says one side decided to pursue change and restoration through persuasion and ballots, and the other side decided to defend its privilege with persecution and bullets. This is at the American Mind. Wow, quite an article. It says, we know which side is which. It's now clear for everyone to see. It's just like that email that I read to you earlier in the program. I mean, America Under Attack is such a wonderful book because it explains why and how all of this is happening. And better yet, it tells you where we are headed as well. Make sure if you don't have your own free copy of America Under Attack that you contact our operators today or visit our website at thetrumpet.com. That's about all that we have time for on this unique program where we were able to flip the script a little bit. We thank you for watching with us today. and we hope we'll see you again tomorrow. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. See you next time.